Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 32 for November 28th, 2014.
Welcome to the Black Friday edition, I tell you, of the Weekly Dose of Fat Radio Hour with your hosts, Sven and Gomez.
Good evening, everybody.
Happy holidays from everybody here at the Nut Factory Studios, River West, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Locked in the padded room here at the Nut Factory Studio. Joining us in the studio today is Mr. J.K. Livin.
Hey, everybody. Our show is sponsored by Surly Bikes. Surly wishes you all the very best for the holiday season. Check out the Surly Holiday Toy Catalog Wish Book at surlybikes.com.
I used to have one of those Sears Wish Books Christmas that my grandfather would say, circle one thing in there.
I think that's...
Otherwise, we get a wallet. That would be it. So you'd have kind of circle your, you know, you needed the mucklucks or whatever. Anyway, what's on the show this week, Mr. J.K.?
On this week's show, we have beer, but no Julio. So the
we get the clap now?
Just kidding,
there will
Julio.
Be no neck stabbing
we
at this week's show.
We love your gaucho pants.
Sorry, Julio. We miss you.
We talk with Brent from Twin Six, Ask Sam Squanch, and Festivus.
Welcome to the ever-popular introductory beer segment.
Beer on the show.
JK is in charge of beer today.
Yeah, I did come up with Threadless IPA. It's from Finch's in Chicago. So
yeah,
it's in a can.
Yeah,
that I gravitate towards the can.
Did you get that at Kensington? Is that where you got this stuff?
Yeah.
Kensington Liquor, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's a little plug. Kensington
right
Liquor.
For you, Kensington. It's in a can.
It's in a can. I'm only going to drink part of it in the thing because I want to look at it and not be called a savage and a heathen by Julio.
I think that's more important on maybe certain kinds of beers. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty light. But
oh, it's all spilly all over my leggy. It says 6% alcohol right on the can.
Yeah. So I can have more than one of these. And
maybe and we'll have more than one of these.
Rolling around.
Well,
and it caught a nice 81 off Beer Advocate.
They must not have enough people plugging away for them yet.
It was like 400 and some odd reviews
like,
or something.
Smells like an 80.
They need to pay some, what do they call those click farmer guys? Maybe they do the Beer Advocate
postings. The Malaysian click farmers.
Yeah, they'll just do postings on Beer Advocate. You can buy like 500 postings that are all AAA top notch.
The yo, Uncle Gomez on the Delta.
Sorry.
Don't make me spew all over this hardware.
You're up the nose.
Yeah. That 6% alcohol is you right up the nose there, ladies.
So what's the nose feel then of this beer?
Well, actually,
I'm not
going to
try it,
myself
there.
Okay, no.
Coming through your nose.
Coming out the wrong way, not going in.
So are we
going
to toast, gentlemen?
Big noises. Yeah. It's an IPA.
Yeah, it doesn't offend me.
No.
For sure. No, certainly no worse than the fluffer beer we had.
Yeah.
I get a solid, a full, rosy 81 on this.
I taste all.
I guess they came close with apricots. But
I did
they,
not.
It was of orange peel. Was
yeah, I didn't. I
noted.
Didn't, yeah, I mean, it's drinkable for sure.
I read the Beer Advocate thing, and they said that the bitterness of the hops was balanced out by the astringent. I
too many words. Biggs.
I don't think I like astringent. That's like
sinewy. It has that like, same feeling to it.
It's like the stuff that you clean chrome with or something.
What do you think of the flavor?
It tastes like beer.
Yeah. And it's a full IPA
that
is probably more on the hoppy end for me than I'm normally comfortable with. So if
it doesn't have a perfumey
flavor.
Will
I drink the rest of this beer? Yeah.
It doesn't have that perfumey flavor of the other one we had.
It did.
Or the smell.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, a little perfume. This is less perfume smelling.
Our fluffer beer was Dale's Pale Ale.
Also in cans.
Yes. So yeah, And the portability. I'm just all things.
Well, sometimes I don't like to like have two different kinds of beers right in a row. I like to keep drinking the same beer if, once I'm on a beer. But the switch between Dale's and this wasn't that big of a jump. So, you know, if you're familiar with Dale's, you'd probably like this.
My tongue is
hopping.
Is happier.
Yep.
Happier.
Do we have to, maybe I'll let it breathe. I'll pour some more in here and I'll let it breathe until later in the show and we can do a beer stop somewhere.
Right. Ding, 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 ding. Under the bridge.
Yeah, there's always a bridge. We'll be right back with Brent from Twin Six.
Fat Bike Radio.
Whether you carry your bikes on your roof or with a hitch, the best way to get your fat bike to the trail is with a rack from 1UP USA. 1UP USA uses stainless steel hardware on their all-aluminum racks and come with a lifetime warranty. 1UP USA racks are made in the USA, right in Wisconsin. Visit 1UPUSA.com for more information on the fastest loading, highest quality rack solutions.
Please welcome to the show, Mr. Brent Gale from Twin Six.
Hey, Brent, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on your show. How's it going in Milwaukee?
Not too bad. A little chilling, but pretty good.
Sweet.
So what made Twin Six decide to expand from being a clothing company and an accessory company to making bicycles, including fat bikes?
You know, we've been riding bikes for years, all of us. Ryan, myself, Jesse. You know, we got into the apparel side of it because we weren't really that stoked on anything that was available. We just weren't really digging on jersey graphics at the time. And so we started designing jerseys that we thought looked cool and stuff that we would be excited to wear. So it only made sense to us that eventually we would start designing bikes that we're excited about riding. You know, after 2 years of designing bikes, we finally were ready to launch some bikes this year at Interbike. Really excited about the bikes we've designed, including the fat bike, the standard fat.
Cool. So the standard fat, that's due to come into stock very soon, right?
Yeah, actually, we just launched it on the site a couple of days ago. We did sort of a silent launch. We didn't tell anybody that we put it up just so that we could see if there's any bugs in the system. The first time that we've done bikes online, and there's like options, whether you choose through axle or between these dropouts, carbon forks, that stuff.
Sure.
So we plan to really kind of start pimping it in the next few days here through the weekend, and then hopefully start selling some bikes pretty quickly. We've already sold about 60% of the bikes that we ordered.
Wow.
So we'll see how they go when they start becoming available to everybody.
Yeah, at Interbike, the booth looked like it was really busy. I think people were pretty excited to see what you guys are doing. Can you tell us what sets the standard fat apart from all the other alternatives out there?
What sets the standard fat apart?
Right.
You know, besides being the sexiest fat bike in the market, it's also the lightest and the fastest. And as you mentioned, at Interbike, it generated the most bike boners of any bike.
Yeah, there were some stiffies walking around.
Those are a couple of things that set it apart. You know, I think everybody said on your show and before that, you know, fat bikes are basically mountain bikes.
Right.
Or mid-coast dirt bikes. And our take on a fat bike is it's an oversized 29er. So we're really into riding tight single track and fun dirt trails around here. And we wanted our fat bike to ride just like one of our race 29er bikes. So basically we did that by doing shorter chain stays and steeper angles. You know, I think that's kind of one of the things that sets us apart from some bikes. You know, I mean, there are bikes that are more adventuring bikes. There are some bikes that are more, fatter tires that can ride on, you know, beach cruisers or fluffy snow. Ours is more, a little bit more set up towards all year long riding, racing, riding tight single track, that kind of thing. But I also mentioned that our bike is actually the best single track riding bike in the world.
No, wow. That's some news for our listeners.
No wonder you sold 60% of them already. So
yeah, Jesse Lalonde, actually, he's setting Strava records all over the place with it.
No way.
Fat standard.
I like that Jesse guy. He and I talk about the whole every time I see a certain kind of bike, I'm like, oh, Jesse would hate that bike.
Yeah, yeah. He loved this bike, and I know he loved it. I mean, we went through, oh, man, we've been working on this bike for over a year. We went through probably 3 rounds of revisions, and this last round, we just totally nailed the Geo and everything. We're super, I mean, I couldn't be more excited that this is the first bike we're taking to market, really.
Cool, man.
Well, just send a couple this way. We'd be happy to ride them around here for you.
Yeah, if I have any left, I mean, we'll see how they start selling, how the main few had got selling, and you know, hopefully our manufacturer can knock out some more pretty quickly.
Now, the standard is it's titanium, right?
Yeah, it's a titanium bike. Basically, it has dropouts that we designed ourselves. They're interchangeable dropouts. You can either do quick release or through axle on the rear dropout. So it's kind of future-proof. It also uses our cable management system where we use these 3 clips and hydro guides or nut certs on the down tube and these little clips that will manage your cable so that you can do, you know, like a 2x or a 1x really, really easily. And it keeps it really clean looking.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, all right. Yeah. I know that you have the bike up on the website now and we'll have that in the show notes. People can go and click on that. And they can always reach you guys and ask any specific questions. Because right now, we are about to enter the lightning round of the interview process. Are you ready?
I am ready. Go. Hell yeah, go.
Okay, so answer the 5 following questions in a rapid succession, starting with tubes or tubeless?
Tubeless and tube tops.
All right. Fast and hard or slow and casual?
When I was younger, it was always fast and hard. But now it depends on my mood. Sometimes it's, you know, slow and casual is better.
Right on.
But I also like fast and hard as well, yeah.
Flats or clipless?
Lake boots and clipless, for sure. Those are the best. And I just feel like I have way more control riding clipless.
Groomed or ungroomed?
Me or the trails I ride.
See, now that's where you can go a lot of different directions with this one.
Yeah, okay, well, it depends on who I'm riding with. If I'm riding with Jesse, it's blaze your own path. And if I'm flying solo, it's usually groomed.
And our last lightning round question, Velma or Daphne?
Daphne. I've always had a thing for Daphne. It's Daphne.
Bless the glasses. Stumbled it.
Daphne. I've always had a thing for Daphne.
Man, I'm with you there. Myself,
that's for sure.
I'm all about Daphne. The Daphne. Hell yeah.
Daphne. I've always had a thing for Daphne. Daphne. Oh, man. Did you edit that, Ben?
Probably not. I think my gizmo's broken.
That's radio gold right there.
Should I do it again? Should I do it one more time?
No. We got it. So we
I love that purple sweater. She's hot, man.
Yeah, exactly. Short sleeve turtleneck too. So hot.
If you want to destroy my sweater.
So, hey, we really appreciate you coming on, talking to us about the new bike and your love of Daphne. So,
thanks a lot, guys. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Yeah, it was a real Amish hoedown up in this here area. Thanks, Brent.
All right, see ya.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hi, this is Eric from Surly. Beanbag chairs, lava lamps, pintos. Those things and more on Fat Bike Radio with Gomez and Sven.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
Hey, Ricky, come back here. Here's Gomez and a goddamn Sam's Squanch.
That's all I got. Mike, give it a go.
That was pretty good.
With this week's episode of Ask Sam Squanch.
On this week's episode of Ask Sam Squanch, we get to know the skunk ape up close and personal before we spring this week's question of the week.
Please welcome to the show the elusive and fabulous Sam Squanch.
Hi.
What's with all the mystery there, Sam Squanch? What makes you so hard to find?
I majored in elusiveness, plus I did get a master's degree in camouflage. Can you see me?
This is internet radio. Some people from West Texas call this a podcast. Can you see me?
No, but if you see me, I'll open my eyes and then you can see me. But I can see your papaya. And I get my internet through mushrooms. Did you know that podcasts were first favored by pods of killer whale? Have you ever seen those National Geographic clips of orcas coming up and snatching seals off the beach? Think about that next time you go on a beach ride on your fat bike, Gomez.
Oh, thanks for the heads up on that there, Squatchy. I suppose we should talk about fat bikes. How do you feel about Norco calling their fat bike a Sasquatch?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm a stickler for correct spelling and diction. My name is Sam Squatch, and don't wear it out. Norco is Canadian like bacon is to breakfast, and Sasquatch holds dual citizenship, just like beers.
Beers? So, like, I could have a Canadian beer that's also an American beer? I get that. I'm totally with you on that. Okay, so are you ready to enter the lightning round or the interview?
Do it. Lightning? Yeah. We can call it the armadillo round instead. Lightning fits my mellow.
Sure thing. The armadillo round requires you to answer the following five fast questions.
Vámonos, Marino, vale.
Beard or balaclava?
Balaclava. Beard for cooling my accounting books. But they hurts my facicles around the lips. Beard and balaclava are plus.
Dogs or cats?
Meow. I am actually eating chicken. They are free range, and they don't have the lightning quick brightness of a light bulb. They're easy to catch. They're easy to fry. They're easy to cut with teeth and consume like a fat bike consumes snow. But as for dogs and cats, I found both delicious. But my favorite is Sweet Baby Mom on the Cob.
Mm.
They're delicious. They're yummy. They're delicious with syrup. Maple. I need some for sure. Excuse me.
Now, just a few more questions. Groomed or ungroomed?
Okay. I'm back. Ungroomed. All the way because first tracks, Apple. Fresh Paw Patrol memory since 1964, bro. Ungroomed equals manliness of the years gone by, coming back in time machine fueled by a fat bike with tires full of squirrel souls. Ungroomed. The fish?
Favorite cocktail?
Favorite cocktail is vodka and pine sap in a flask made by steel forges in Thailandia. Why? It's groovy. Groovy goes a long way because it's
groovy. And one last question of the armadillo round. What does Sam Squatch want for Santa for Christmas?
Well, Sam Squatch no celebrate Christmas. But if I did, I think I would ask for some Air Jordans, size 30, or a scarf made from the woolen alpaca hair of alpacas. Also, I'd ask Pancho Claus to get me a carbon steer tube. I call them steering tubes instead of handlebars because if one studies hard, it is a tube. I would also like new platform pedals and a carbon seat post. And if Pancho Claus is thinking of giving me a hug, I'll welcome it. Like the wisdom of a wombat, because a group of wombats is called a wisdom, just like a group of fat bikers are still cyclists, but funner.
I didn't know that. A group of wombats called a wisdom. That's...
Mm-hmm. Bunch of crows are called a murder of crows.
Oh, yeah. I knew that one. Well, Sam Squatch, thanks for joining us on the show today. You know, we have one more question for you, and this is a surprise one. This comes from our radio audience. What kind of fat bike should I buy?
You should buy a fat bike that you think you're going to like. You should test the fat bike, and with the testing of a fat bike, you should decide for yourself what you want. Try it from a friend, try it from a shop, and if you like steel, if you like carbon, if you like aluminum, it's up to you. If I were you, just me being Sam Squatch, I would get a steel fat bike. Because steel is forged by gnomes, and gnomes know better.
Gnomes are where it's at. Thanks for being on the show. Now, disappear, my brother.
I'm going back into the bushes, bye.
So there you have it, kids. Sam Squatch says, think for yourself.
So people do often ask us, what kind of fat bike should I buy? And it's a complex question, and I think it's worth a little discussion.
start out with at least a 4.0 class fat bike as like a baseline model, right?
Yeah, a real fat bike.
Yeah.
So at least 65 millimeter rims.
But to me, that's almost the question you want to start thinking about from the start is whether you want to do a 4 or a 5.
Right. There's like a whole series of questions that I would have to ask a person.
How tall are you?
Yeah, all of those questions.
What is your big toe's name? I think I have just the
your quest.
Mike, yep, so the quest is to get an appropriate fat bike. So how would you go about it if you were somebody that was just looking into doing this and go to your local bike shop, do some internet on the research on the internet?
Well, I would say, what do you want to buy? Do you want service after the sale? Do you want to buy from a local bike shop? Or is this your 7th or 8th bike and you know enough to know your sizing, et cetera, know what to order off of the internet, and maybe a competent enough wrench to fix the stuff that you break, right?
Yeah, or
in
yeah,
my case, I live in the country. I don't really have a local bike shop within 35 miles of me, right? So I do a lot of internet shopping, but I also have to always have a local bike shop because there's just things I can't do. I can't align my derailleur hanger. I can't work on shocks. I can't figure out how to bleed hydraulic brakes.
Yeah, and the internet doesn't come to your house and do that for you.
Right.
Exactly. So you kind of need to do it for yourself somewhat, I would think.
So, and regionally, if we're going to have pictures of this beautiful Scott Big Ed bike on our site.
Right.
And next week, from a guy in Nova Scotia. He's an Atlantic Coast Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, they can get Scotts.
Right. I think they're a little bigger over on the coast there. There's not that many Scott dealers around here.
Right. If I wanted one, I would be SOL.
Right.
If I lived in Germany or another market where that bike was available, then that would be one of the choices that I would recommend people go ride and then ride another one or two.
Yep.
And decide which one is more rad for you.
Yeah,
you
know? To some extent. I mean, you're going to have to come up with what budget you want. You know, there's a lot of different choices to be made if you're spending $1,500 than $4,000. So
the only thing that I would say is try and future-proof. I know Brent, he talked about future-proofing
right.
On their bike. Get one.
Surly's got some going on their bikes, their future with the changeable dropouts and stuff.
Right, yep. Right. So through axles, tapered head tube, the ability to have to, if you know, suspension is coming. Bluto is not going to be alone for long. So, you know, trying to get a bike that can take on any of those new innovations. And for me, anyway, it would be a 5-inch tire and 100 millimeter rim style bike as opposed to a 80 and 4-inch. But
I think a person actually, in all honesty, needs two fat bikes, really. You need a soft condition fat bike. And if you're going to be using it as your main mountain bike, I think you'd really want more of a trail-oriented one for when you're, you know, I right. certainly don't see a problem having more than one bike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if you have the means, I highly recommend it.
Those people that just all want to turn the channel because, I want to be on one bike, is you can always run that 29-plus set of wheels on a 6-inch bike. I said 5-inch bike. The you know, so you can have one bike that does it all, but does it do it all the best? Like, I don't have two fat bikes. I have a 5-inch bike, and then I got the Krampus.
Right, which is more designed for that wheel size than a fat bike is.
Yeah.
It does do a little, it's a little nicer, I think.
Yeah, I love the way that bike
But it's
passable
putting them on a normal fat bike.
Right.
Anyway, there you have it. You got a couple roads. You can do the research on the internet, and if you can do it yourself, do it that way. Otherwise, go to a bike shop and get somebody to actually talk to you and understand your needs and probably be able to recommend something.
And go to more than one bike shop because every guy you talk to at a bike shop will only talk to you about what he can
sell
you.
This is a secret, ladies and gentlemen, that's being revealed for the first time here on Bike Radio.
No. You know what I'm saying. Is that too obvious?
No, I don't know. But they won't sell you the bike at the other guy's shop.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And find a early adopting shop. You know, if you need to find a good shop in your area, send an email to gomez@fatbike.com and I'll try and find a good dealer for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones out there. When we travel around, we try to stop in at local shops and just get a feel for what's happening in that area as far as fat bikes go. So it takes stopping at a few shops and, you know, there's a lot of good ones out there. So let us know.
Well, that was a
extra long version of Ask Sam Squanch.
Extended play. If you have a burning question that you'd like to ask Sam Squanch, just email your question to samsquanch@fatbike.com. That's SamSquanch at fatbike.com. And if we read your question on the show, we'll send you some rad stickers or a pesky gnome.
I should probably see if that email actually works. I did set it up, but I don't know that I tested it.
Don't make me a liar. Don't make me a liar.
I think it's worth it.
Or something close to Sam Squanch.
All I'm saying
you can always hit info@fatbike.com or Sven@fatbike.com.
That's also possible.
Yes.
Sam Squanch is just, you know, it's on the website, though, so.
Just click the link.
Yeah.
We'll so, get back to you, and it'll be beautiful.
Yeah. Before we get to the links down the page here just a little bit, we just want to make sure that Kona owners are aware of a fork recall. It affects about 513 bikes is the number I read on the recall from the 2014 model year. So if you have one of those Kona woes, go to your dealer. They will deal with it. Not a big deal. Just don't want you to ride them until you get it handled. There is a link in the show notes to the notice.
I tested one of those. I rode one of those for a month.
Right, and it didn't bite you.
No.
Rode like a dream.
I always wonder what people do to brake forks.
Like a 1967 Chevy.
Or walls or,
yeah. Whatever. Kind anyway. Of a family truckster.
What do we got in links?
Hey, Steve Tilford got fat last week.
I'm glad. I mean, I was always kind of surprised that he didn't get on a fat bike a little sooner because he's always in Hayward.
I think that's bad news for anybody that thinks they're going to win the U.S. National Fat Bike Championship.
Yeah, or the Fat Bike Berkey, maybe.
Right, right.
One or the other. Yeah. Steve's a fast guy still at his advanced age.
And then there's, you know, these posts from South America. We're all Americans. I think I should go down there and ride my bike.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. We've got lots of friends in Colombia and in Costa Rica. So
yeah,
if you want to make a trip February, when it's kind of perfect down there.
I was always fond of thinking of myself as a gaucho in the pampas of Argentina.
You can go to a banana plantation, riding our fat bikes around a banana plantation.
And a jaunty hat.
So the guys from the Fat Bike Brigade, that's a group of guys that ride on the Wasatch Front out in Utah, they're putting together a winter randonnée series. How do you say that again?
Rondeleurs.
Don't French it up there, boy.
Rondonnée.
So they're going to be longer rides, though, more non-competitive, but longer distance fat bike rides on the front of the Wasatch Front there by Salt Lake City and whatnot.
Perfectly awesome way to use a fat bike is just cruising backcountry roads with all your gear on there.
West Virginia, mountain mama.
That's what I'm
talking
about. Take
me home, a country road.
Pugsley on patrol tried some Nates.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, primarily a beach and loam rider.
Yeah, he does a lot of videos.
Yeah, he
spends a lot of time on the videos.
That's gorgeous, cool. Beautiful vistas. Way to go, Pugsley on patrol. Another dude named Gary. Hey, JK's got a link.
JK found something this week.
Oh yeah.
Hey, there. thanks for taking stepping the effort,
up,
man.
Stepping up.
Yeah, you sure enough doing it right.
Well, it's a link on a winter bike commuting, and it's nothing really new. It's just kind of a nice reminder as the snow is flying and sticking around and not being plowed.
It was pretty slick out there. I got to put the studs.
Yeah,
we got studs on pretty soon already.
I was a little surprised on my two rides so far.
Our buddy Joe Boo moved his blog, so there's a link to his new blog in the show notes. It's just he moved to a WordPress-powered site after Blogger pissed him off for far too long. Good move. I hardly endorse it.
Joe Boo. And our friend Danielle Musto, the friend.
She got stuck in the snow.
Yeah. I bet you she could pull that car out. She just strap the tow strap onto her Bear Grease. And Brat pulled her own car out with her Bear Grease.
That would be cool. I like the waiting in the bar portion of the program.
And then our friend, Earl Everstone, I saw this. He had put this link up about Matahe Fat Pack trip that just looks awesome. I've ridden out there. And
is that North Dakota or South Dakota?
North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota.
Medora, North Dakota.
I know the lay of the land. I don't know exactly where that is, but yeah, it's cool.
right next to Teddy Roosevelt National Park. So cool stuff.
I've been meaning to go to Miles City, Montana, and you kind of have to go that way to get there. So maybe next summer I'll head up through there.
Yeah, you just have to hit it right. No rain, because that
probably be late Bennett June, clay early July.
Turns to cement.
No, thank you.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Surly makes good stuff that makes you smile. Check it out.
They're
at SurlyBikes.com.
Colin already got a coat.
Oh, man, I was going to order one maybe. I don't know. I was kind of hoping one would just show up in the mail.
He said it's really nice. Hey, join us next week when Natalia Mendez joins the radio program. She's going to share some holiday cocktail recipes and talk about the Freewheel Winter Bike Expo up at the Twin Cities next weekend.
Are we going to do cocktails in lieu of beer time if she's going to talk about cocktails?
Well, I think that was purely waxing poetic, but yeah, it's a good idea. Maybe it was our destiny.
Yes, we should do cocktails. Well, unfortunately, we're closing the show today with some very sad news. I just heard about this a couple hours ago, but Steve Head has passed away from Head Cycles, Carbon Wheel Maker, etc. He was one of the great, he's innovative, and he really loved cycling, and we're going to miss the guy. We really are.
Yeah, was a cool cat, man. Fun
daddy.
Fun. And would just so engaging and personable. And
I'd always seem like when you were talking to him, he thought you were a pretty important guy, too.
Exactly. That
you know, he kind of made you feel like you were worth something. He was a good guy.
And a little nutty professor about Steve that you just got to love. He was just enough out there that was like, you knew he was one of us.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Well, we'll miss you, Steve.
Yeah, rest in peace, Steve. That's it for this week. Adios, amigos.
Bye.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.